The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here's your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we're going to be talking about managing health information with Karen Fabrizio, president of the New York Health Information Management Association. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based, practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to Scripture to give us perspective on every discussion focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. In the news this week from Health Magazine, the latest edition, is an interesting snapshot of discussion on hormone replacement therapy for women. For decades, there's been a question on whether or not it's safe and healthy to take hormone replacement therapy, that is, the use of estrogen and progestin during and after menopause. It's a complex question, but recent recommendations from Preventive Services Task Force helps us to better understand that the risks of taking hormone replacement, or HRT, long-term, that is, in their mind, more than 3 years, clearly outweigh the benefits. And this is pretty important information because up to this point, my recollection was they were safe, if you will, all the way through 5 years. This limits it to 3 years of use. It was once thought that HRT would lower the risk of heart disease, dementia, and osteoporosis, but a new report concludes that taking hormone replacement long-term can actually increase risk of stroke, breast cancer, and dementia. What if you take it for less than 3 years, you might ask? Well, there's no conclusive evidence that short-term use is harmful, so it might make some sense if you are suffering from severe hot flashes and other menopausal symptoms to talk with your doctor and consider it. But do remember, your doctor can help you work through the pros and cons, the risks and benefits, based on your own personal risk factors. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Karen Fabrizio is the president of the New York Health Information Management Association, an assistant professor in health information technology at Onondaga Community College. Welcome, Karen, to Your Holistic Health.
Thank you.
Well, the New York Health Information Management Association, it's a professional organization, as I understand, and it deals with medical record management. And you know, probably better than anyone, that everybody that's had anything to do with office visits, hospitalizations, whether personally or with loved ones or friends, understands the Privacy Act, the HIPAA requirements, and the fact that we're moving toward electronic medical record and information management. How did you personally ever get interested in such a profession?
I actually stumbled into it. As a senior in high school, I was trying to find the perfect career, but I was having a really hard time choosing between business and a health career. My guidance counselor suggested I start looking at area schools, so I went to Ithaca College, where they had a very popular and well-established physical therapy program. I was somewhat interested in that. And as I was touring the campus, I was talking to the tour guide and was talking to her about her program and how it was a blend of healthcare and business. And the rest is history. She was a health information manager student, and I jumped into the profession and have had wonderful opportunities from just that one little conversation.
How serendipitous. Life happens, right?
Yes, it does.
Well, many folks, again, know about privacy and the issues because we're constantly signing, you know, the consents and the policy forms. But, you know, there's, as a pharmacist, I know there's a whole other world out there of information management regarding our health. And it has to do with medications as well as medical information. And there are analyses that are done, and for a good reason. Tell us more about that.
Sure. The medical record is basically a collection of data elements, and when we combine them together, we get valuable information. And in looking at our patient's records in an aggregate and pulling information out, we create data sets. And from there, we're able to identify patterns, trends. We are able to basically identify best practices, efficient treatments, and establish models that we should emulate. The data sets are collected in all healthcare settings and are forwarded on to a clearinghouse, depending on the setting. And those clearinghouses help establish even nationwide data sets and protocols and clinical pathways. And it really gives us as healthcare professionals the information we need on how to treat our patients. So not all of our information for our practices comes from research. A lot of it comes from the work that's being done at the facility down the road or even across the country. The data analysis helps us establish quality measures that we can benchmark ourselves against.
I think it's really important, and this is a key point for our listeners tonight, Karen. Many people may think that medications are safe and well-studied by the FDA simply because they've been approved. That couldn't be farther from the truth. There are typically only two clinical studies that are required to get a drug approved in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a short-term study, very controlled, not in the general population. So we need data analysis, data collection and data analysis in real time in thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of patients so that we can understand and compare and contrast not only regional differences, but commonalities, as you said, with regard to best practice and clinical paths. And while it seems like, wow, you know, you're kidding kind of an approach, we trust the FDA, and we should.
Mm-hmm.
It's there for a reason. It's only the beginning. It's really only the beginning, and especially in terms of, I guess, positive outcome measures, which everyone in the country wants high-quality care. That's the only way we're going to get it. Do you agree?
Yes. 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 The information we collect is used in establishing the goals. Joint Commission recently has done a huge push towards reducing medication errors and increasing patient safety. And a lot of the data is collected from the information collected at your facility locally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All de-identified, all
yes,
with your permission.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
That's an important point.
No identifying information is released.
Mm-hmm. All right, so health information management, let's expand that one step further. Let's connect some of the dots between, or among, if you will, the clinical analysis and analysis related to operations, and maybe
mm-hmm.
even beyond that, administrative functions that all together pull high-quality patient care to the forefront through multiple touch points.
Sure. As we said, our record is a collection of data, and the way that we use that data really is driven by the role of an individual within a facility. Of course, physicians and nurses use the clinical information. Our administrators would utilize the information regarding length of stay and bed turnover for staffing purposes and for maybe allocating resources towards a certain skill need or towards a certain diagnosis or a certain procedure. So we're able to take that information and utilize it in multiple different ways. Health information is a blend of those functions. As I mentioned earlier, we're a combination of healthcare and administration. Our students take a lot of courses in anatomy and physiology and pathophysiology and pharmacology, but then they also get into management and data analysis and quality improvement and statistics and data presentation. So we are the individuals that many people within our facilities turn to say, how many did we have and what about this type of a scenario? Mm-hmm. And we are able to provide that information, mostly because every interaction is documented by the healthcare provider and we are able to extrapolate that out.
So really, again, everything that you've shared with us thus far makes sort of a commitment to high quality care and to safe care to the best of our ability. So this benefits every patient.
Yes.
That's touched by that care, whether it's, and it's quite seamless. I think the average patient in this country would not know that all this incredible expertise and work is being done behind the scenes. Would you agree?
I would agree. I think when you go into your doctor's office and you see them come in with a laptop, you see them doing the documentation, or when we were in the paper world, and some of our providers still are paper, you know, you see them documenting, but you don't realize the level of detail and the amount of information that is collected at that point.
And again, I would say we're trying to put a different spin on this tonight. It's some people say, well, I need that, you know, that high touch, low tech doctor-patient relationship. And we're in some ways, yes, moving a bit away from that. But what you get in return is this incredible, you know, focus on quality and safety for the good of the order, for the good of the entire country. So I just really want to, you know, make sure that we send that positive message to our listeners tonight. Before we go to break, I'm going to ask you a question around health stewardship and introduce that concept. And I really want to talk on a more one-on-one basis about how important it is. And this is the pharmacist coming out in me now, for our patients to keep a list of their meds and their supplements, and if possible, their med history, all in one place to help their caregivers optimize their care. What do you think about that?
Ed, it is so important for us to be our own advocates for our health. We need to have information ourselves. And it is so important for us to have that information you referred to, because there may be a situation or an instance where we're unable to remember every little detail when we're seeking health care in a critical situation or acute situation. We're focused on ourselves and may not be able to answer all of that information, or our loved ones may have difficulty recalling the information. And the information can be kept as simply as in a three-ring binder or in a notebook. You don't need to go out and purchase a lot of equipment or create tons of accounts to be able to start maintaining your information. My national association, the American Health Information Management Association, has created a wonderful website. It's myphr.com, and it really has a lot of information for individuals of all different computer abilities or all different care needs, just to start considering what they need to do and how to even begin.
Well, you know, there's no owner's manual with this physical journey. And again, the idea or the concept here is stewardship of our bodies. And we are stewards, not owners, if you will. And I'm going to put yet another spin, and this is going to be a spiritual spin on this notion, and then we're going to go to break. So scripturally, in Luke chapters 12 and 19, we know that we are responsible to God for how we treat our bodies that He has given us, as well as for all our other resources that He's made available to us. And the purpose of our efforts to maintain our health should be so that we are better able to go about our Father's business, whatever that business may be. If you're just joining our show, This is Your Holistic Health. Tonight we're talking with Karen Fabrizio, president of the New York Health Information Management Association, about managing health information. We're going to take a brief break, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. Tonight's guest is Karen Fabrizio, president of the New York Health Information Management Association. And we're talking about managing health information. And that's a big task for all of us. Well, okay, so the Affordable Care Act, I have to say that it's really, I think as a professional, an exciting time, a challenging time, an anxious time for all of us. But where do you see medical history taking or sharing of more information more broadly through the Affordable Care Act going in the next couple of years? Have you got a personal or a professional opinion on that, Karen?
The Affordable Care Act will require us to make our information, or will facilitate us making our information available. I think some people are hesitant to share information because of the pre-existing medication or condition concern that might cause them to not receive coverage. And the Affordable Care Act has a pre-existing clause that will require insurance companies to provide coverage and not to remove or deny an individual coverage based on a pre-existing condition. You know, the one concern I have heard in many of the circles is a lot of the individuals who will now be receiving care haven't received care possibly from one consistent provider. So it may be a little challenging for us to start pulling all of those pieces together so that when they do need care, that it's readily available. And that's the important thing about health information. It needs to be available when it's needed. And, you know, there's been some concerns about that, and that's one of the reasons why we're really advocating the PHR for individuals to start collecting and maintaining their record for the situation when they need it.
Mm. Well, part of my professional work is still in the hospital locally, and I can share with you that we have a concept. It's called medication reconciliation, and that's just a fancy concept that in essence means when you hit the door or you hit the office, our job is, as professionals, is to get an accurate and complete list of your medications and the most recent list. If mm-hmm. you've been a frequent flyer or you've had medications filled at many different pharmacies, or you've had a long, lengthy medical history, it's hard to get that accurate information. And yet everything that happens from that moment forward utterly depends on the accuracy. Pharmacists are pretty good at doing that, but it's time intensive.
Yes.
And I think necessary, because basically the whole country is going electronic. Yet not all of these electronic databases talk to each other still, even in the same city. What do you make of that?
Well, I think we have a lot of room for improvement for the communication between our systems. We are seeing many communities establish RIOs. RIOs stand for Regional Health Information Organizations, where information is shared, such as lab tests and baby discharge summaries and results of other testing, The Rio is a repository for sharing. We are not seeing direct electronic record to electronic record communication, but there are these warehouses set up within the state guidelines and fully protected, fully secured, where we can start to share information. As we establish more data standards for sharing and being able to communicate, I think we will see more reporting abilities, more interoperability between the systems for sharing information.
And again, I'm going to focus on two different notions, one being the medical information, medical surgical information, and the other being the medication or even dietary supplement information, and how there's an interplay among all those groups of data, and the notion of coordination and the power behind that coordination is absolutely essential to moving forward. I mean, we've got to be about the business of personalized medicine in the next 10 to 20 years. We've got pharmacogenomics, pharmacogenetics, nutrigenomics and genetics, stem cell research. I mean, imagine the explosion of knowledge that's going to be utterly dependent upon the accuracy of this data to help us sort of advance the whole industry. And I bet most people don't have that kind of conversation with their docs and vice versa. Mm-hmm. We're just in the very beginning stages of how this all is going to work together. And I'm just really excited about it. Am I crazy?
No, you're not.
I just love data, I guess. And I love quality and safety. That's part of my job, too, at the hospital. So I'm like you in many respects. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, here's an intriguing notion. Credit card medical history. We're going to have something like a Kroger's card anytime soon, or a credit card with our history on there?
You know, it's the technology is being developed, and it's certainly possible. I do know that some managed care organizations are providing that information to their clients, to their patients, on a limited basis. You know, part of the problem is that card has to be readable by everybody who would need that information. So the technology's there. It's being developed. I'm not sure how widely used it will be throughout the country. It may be a regional effort. It may be an answer to one geographical location.
And then I think a corollary question would be the inevitable, hey, how about the microchip?
Oh, yeah.
Is that anywhere close to being tested or a real possibility in the next 5 years?
You know, I haven't seen a lot of activity on that in the last couple years, because so much of the focus has been towards the efforts by the Rios for sharing information. You know, part of the problem is the microchip. You have to have a reader to be able to read it. And I think there's concern that all settings, you know, it won't be across all continuum of care. It might be isolated to just certain areas. So we need to make sure that if it is implemented, that it's available and accessible to everybody who would need to render care to an individual.
When I think of these notions, I'm way back in my childhood thinking about the book The Brave New World, and still the wonder of the dreams and the unlimited possibilities of the future. I feel that wonder still as a professional. Do you feel like that sometimes?
I do. It's amazing just the changes I have seen in my profession from when I graduated from college, and just the development of the computers and the development of the technology and how we're rendering care and the technological advances in pharmaceutical and non-pharmaceutical treatments. And it's just, it's amazing the amount of advancements we have seen.
So from the New York perspective to the national perspective, are there regional coalitions, or how do you work with your colleagues around the country to that regard?
Yeah, that's a great question. AHIMA, the American Health Information Management Association, has 51 components to the state associations. Every state has an association, and we have representatives coming from Puerto Rico. And we meet 3 or 4 times a year at leadership conferences and delegate conferences. And the wonderful thing about technology is we're able to communicate via conferences and webinars now. And we share information. We share best practices. We participate in review of new technology or new practices, and then that information is disseminated down. In New York State, we have several regions, and we have leaders within those regions that help share information. So it's just it's a great umbrella, and it's a great network of peers.
So there's a horizontal connection geographically throughout the country, but isn't there also a vertical connection, meaning as we evolve our knowledge base of best practices, they evolve, meaning medicine and our understanding is continually kinetic, changing, evolving. The literature, studies, research, or repository information that you collect isn't stagnant. It doesn't stay the same. It's constantly, if you will, being reinvented. And again, this is very consistent with medicine traditionally and non-traditionally, where you might have 2 cardiologists in one room reading the same study and not being able to agree on the utility of those results or the place in therapy for the device or medication or intervention. And yet, somehow or other, that debate, while collegiate, is one that actually is necessary and helps advance the industry and helps keep people safe and keep quality high. Do you agree?
I do agree. It's only through networking and discussions and sharing information with our peers that we can learn from one another and make new discoveries. Mm.
Karen, we're on the final moments of our show. Where can our listeners go for more information about your work?
Oh, wonderful. The American Health Information Management Association's website is www.ahima.org. If you're interested in learning more about educational programs, there's a wonderful website that we've created. It's www.hicareers.com. That's High Careers. And that really kind of helps you identify what the pathway is for the health information management profession. There's several different avenues that individuals can take. And then if I could just promote the WWMyPHR one more time, it's myphr.com. It's a wonderful website for anybody who's interested in learning more and how they can set up their own personal health record.
Awesome. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to wrap up the show with the quote of the week, and it's by Martin Luther. And I quote, "Faith, like light, should always be simple and unbending, while love, like warmth, should beam forth on every side and bend to every necessity of our brethren," end quote. Thanks again to our guest, Karen Fabrizio, president of the New York Health Information Management Association, for being with us tonight. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. You are invited to my website online at rxintegrativesolutions.com for more information on my personalized wellness consultations. Please tune in again next week at this same time to hear Hannah Hoisted, author of The Miracle Journey of Love, a very precious journey of her personal experience at age 9 that's really worth listening to. On the next edition of Your Holistic Health, you are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m., on Faith and Friends Radio for Your Holistic Health.